Our gospel reading for today is from the first chapter of John, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gave light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please have a seat. Well, Merry Christmas to you, one and all. It's good to be with you this morning. A famous story at our house was from a time when our boys were in high school, and they were given a flower. I'm not sure why. Maybe it was Valentine's Day or something, but they were given a flower, and all three of them brought their flower home for their mother, and they were red carnations. My mom, Mary, was visiting at the time, and Chris was just making conversation, you know, with her in the kitchen, first grateful that her three boys thought of her with the flower that they brought from school, but she just kind of said, yeah, they're beautiful, but carnations aren't my favorite flower. After about 5 minutes of silence, if you knew my mother, my mom finally says, in a whiny, kind of apologetic voice, Chris, I like carnations. And Chris said, Mary, I'm glad you like carnations. They just aren't my favorite. Well, carnations, they're a flower, named likely from the Latin word carnis, which means flesh. And early carnations were commonly pale pink or flesh-colored. And the carnis refers to that skin-like color. The title of my message is a play on words. Christmas is God offering himself to you as a stunning bouquet of love. As we heard in Isaiah, how beautiful are the mountains, are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace and brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation and says to God, to Zion, your God reigns. It's referring to what the gospel said about John the Baptist coming before Jesus, bringing good news to the poor. It says, the voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice together. They sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. For the Lord break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He's redeemed his people. He's redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his arm before the eyes of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Wow, what good news. Good news of happiness. Good news of salvation. Foretold here from Isaiah 700 years before the Messiah came on earth, before Jesus was born. Also in Isaiah, he's given the name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. The gospel today describes the incarnation, God becoming a man, literally, God becoming flesh. God is offering himself to you as a stunning bouquet of love. And if you would, open the Bibles that are in front of you or underneath your seat and turn to John 1:1, because there we're going to, it's on page 862. I want to recap. I want to just use this as our study text this morning, because this section of John, verses 1 to 18, is actually a recap of the entire gospel story in 18 verses. And so these verses really show how God is offering himself to you and me as a stunning bouquet of love and inviting you to hold it, to hold this bouquet as your own. So John 1:1 begins with these words: "The beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now we know that the Word there refers to Jesus Christ. The Greek word for the Word is logos, and the logos in Greek understanding was more than just the spoken word. It was also the words that you think of even before you speak them. It's the words that become ideas or thoughts. And what they're saying here is that Jesus is all these things. He is the Word spoken. He's the Word flesh. He's completely and utterly complete. And it says here that in him was life. In this Word, in Jesus, is life. We see that in what he taught, what he shared, how he loved people, how he called people out of darkness into light and life, which is what it says next. His life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, we've all had the experience of darkness. I recall one time we did a cave tour, and in that cave tour, we were deep underneath the surface of the earth, not a really special place to be for someone who's a little bit claustrophobic. And in the middle of that cave tour, they turned out the lights that help you see your steps. It's the first time I'd been in utter, complete darkness. I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I couldn't see anything. I was holding my wife's hand, luckily, so I didn't freak out because I knew someone was there. But it felt very, very disconcerting to not see a thing. And then, just to light a little match, and all of a sudden, all the faces lit up. You know, that's what Jesus is. This world is dark. There's a lot of darkness going on all around us. We read the news, we see the news, and there's a lot of bad news. But it says that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. He's the hope. He's the one that illuminates things, even things that are hard for us to understand. We can see light and love and hope because of Jesus. Because light shines in the darkness, and darkness runs from light. There's no way that darkness can overcome light. It's that light that overcomes darkness. Verses 6 to 9 talks about John. John the Baptist, you'll read about it in the Gospels, the forerunner of Jesus. He was part of the nativity story too, because when Mary found out she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, she went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is the mother of John. And when John the Baptist was, before he was even born, he recognized that the Messiah was in his midst. And it says that he leapt in his mother's womb. So John was proclaiming Jesus from the moment he was born, it sounds like. And they were cousins, and they even grew up together. But John had a very distinct role, which was foretold him, that he wasn't going to be the Messiah, of course, but he was going to be the forerunner, the forebearer, the one that gives, testifies to the light. As this stole reminds me of the Lamb of God, when John introduced Jesus to his disciples, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John had a very important role in sharing the message and bringing the message of light and love to people. It says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him. This is about Jesus, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. That's probably one of the biggest puzzles about Jesus, isn't it? How could people have Jesus in their midst? Here we are, 2,000 years later, worshiping Jesus, a person we've never touched, although he's touched us, right? A person that we've never seen in the flesh. And these Israelites, these Jews, had him right there, right in front of them. He did miracles. He taught. He was teaching them about the ways of God and showing them the ways to the truth. And yet, they missed it. So many of the Jews were so arrogant and proud in their religiosity that they missed the whole thing going on. It's one of the most tragic parts of Jesus' life that the people he came for to redeem are some of the ones that rejected him and eventually the ones who put him to death on a cross. But then, verse 12, if you have it there in front of you, I hope I have the right same translation, but I'd like you to read this with me. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. That there, friends, is Jesus' entire ministry. He would preach, he would teach, he would do miracles, and he did all that so that people would receive him and believe in him and thus become children of God. Children of God. How do you think that rings in your ears? Do you like being a kid? I think all of us get to grow up and we go, well, I'm going to put aside those childish things, but if you get to have Christmas morning with any kids this year, you will be playing Legos and you will be playing with block, whatever it is, marbles. We got some marble runs. Side that's got a stunt car that's remote controlled. All these things are great for kids. You know, as a children of God, it helps us realize that, first of all, there are no grandchildren in heaven. Did you notice that? Because only children can be in heaven. So you're not going to heaven because of your parents or your grandparents. You are going to heaven because of your own receiving Jesus as your Savior. That's the gospel, to receive him and then given power so that you can become a child of God. And children have an amazing gift, don't they, of faith. We have our little Eden who's 2 years old, and she loves to worship. She, last night as she was here, she lifts her hands and she sings the carols that she knows so well. She's a child, and she believes in Jesus, and she sings Happy Birthday Jesus with all her heart. That's the faith of a child, and that's what God's and Jesus is inviting us into, is having the faith to believe that he really did come, that he really does love us, that he really did save us. That's the faith of a child. And then look at verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That's the incarnation. The incarnation bouquet, the Word God becoming flesh and living among us. It wasn't just an idea that God put in people's minds to worship him. He actually came to earth. He became us to save us. And it says not only did the Word become flesh, but it talks about his entire being, full of grace and full of truth. You see, grace without truth is license to do whatever you want. And truth without grace is a judgmental attitude. It's stern, without any forgiveness. But Jesus matched the two perfectly. He was full of grace and full of truth. And so he was completely and utterly honest and right and wise and gracious all at the same time. It says in verse 16 and 17, which we didn't have read today, what from his fullness we've all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He says in his teachings that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So he gave a new take on the law by showing that the law always is to draw us to Jesus Christ, to God. It says in verse 18, no one's ever seen God, but it's God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is why we worship on Christmas. God's heart was given. The bouquet of the incarnation was given to us to hold and to receive. So Merry Christmas. It's quite a gift that we've been given. The gift that is very near to you. And all you need to do is open that gift. It reminds me of a story I read about William Randolph Hearst. Hearst was a collector of international art and spent a great deal of time and money collecting art. One day he found a description of a painting he just had to have. So he sent his art agent on a worldwide search to find it. And after months of searching, the agent discovered the treasure. I imagine that the conversation going on would be something like this. The agent says, "Sir, I'm happy to report that I've discovered the whereabouts of your desired artwork." Hearst would say, "Wonderful. I knew you could do it." And agent, "Happy to serve you, my lord." Hearst, "Well, then, what's the damage? This will set me back quite a pretty penny, won't it?" The agent says, "Indeed, the artwork is very expensive, but it won't cost you a dime." Hearst, "What do you mean? Have you stolen it? Good heavens, I never intended for that." Agent, "Oh, no, no, I didn't steal it. The artwork is in a warehouse owned by William Randolph Hearst." Hearst, "Now that's a cruel joke. Sir, what kind of trick are you trying to pull? I don't find this very funny." Agent, "Sir, I'm not playing a joke. You already own it. It's located in your warehouse, never uncrated, and is safe and sound." Now, you may think that true story sounds a bit absurd, that someone would spend thousands or even millions of dollars on artwork that they never unboxed. But it reminds me about the truth about God. We may try on our own strength and our own effort to make our lives better, to better our lives and to solve our problems. But God is right here. He's right here next to you. He's right here with the Holy Spirit inside of you. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to search the whole world over. As God has promised in the book of Jeremiah, "When you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let myself be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile." Like Jesus said, or it says in the first chapter of John, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God. That was the message given to the nation of Israel, that he would bring them back. He would restore them. He would make them his people again. But it also rings true for us today. We have a bouquet of the incarnation right here in our midst. And all we need to do is pick it up and hold it. William Randolph Hearst owned the coveted art, but couldn't keep it. During the Great Depression, he sold all of his art to pay off enormous debts and died without owning any of his masterpieces. Hearst may have given up his treasures, but you never will. God's Son is in your life now and always will be. As the book of Hebrews reminded us, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the worlds. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The incarnation bouquet is offered to you. If you receive Christ in your life, you know what I'm talking about. You know the forgiveness. You know the joy. You know the experience it is to know that even if you do bad and wrong things and mess up, that's not the end. Because God is our forgiving and loving God. He sent Jesus to die for us. And all any of us need to do is receive him by faith. To say, Jesus, I believe in you. You are the Lord. You are the King. You are the Son of God. Forgive my sins and come into my life. That's the story of Christmas. Would you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, we thank you for coming, becoming flesh and living among us, that we don't have to just imagine the acts of God or the character of God. Although we can read about God and his works in the Bible, it really becomes real to us when we meet Jesus Christ. When Jesus, that was a man who walked the face of the earth and taught and lived and did everything with grace and truth, that's when it all starts to sink in. And we thank you, Jesus, for being the one who came to live among us, die, and be raised again. Lord, we thank you that by trusting in you, we have all of your gifts and benefits given to us freely as your children. So, Lord, remind us of your love, help us receive your love, and as we hold this bouquet of the incarnation of you becoming flesh, may it change us and lead us and impact us for now and the rest of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.